لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، محمد رسول الله، علي ولي الله.
أيها المؤمنون والمؤمنات، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الأول قبل الإنشاء والإحياء، والآخر بعد فناء الأشياء، تفرد بالأولية والقدم، ووسم كل شيء ما عداه بالفناء والعدم، كما قال عز شأنه: كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه، وكل نفس دائقة الموت، وقال: كل من عليها فان، ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. ونشهد أن الأئمة من ولده أئمة الهدى وكلمة التقوى. عليكم السلام وأعلام الورى. صلى الله على بقية الله الأعظم حجة ابن الحسن، أرواحنا وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، الذي بوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، وبيمنه رزق الورى. واللعنة على أعدائهم أعداء الله من يومنا هذا إلى يوم لقاء الله. قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المبين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم، ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا، أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه، واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. أما بعد، أيها المؤمنون والمؤمنات والإخوة والأخوات، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله. Dear brothers and sisters, I ask myself and advise all of you: guard yourself and practice the piety, as every day of our life we are heading to our final destiny, and we move forward towards being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of the one who does not require any witnesses, but he is the best of the witness, in the court of the one who has created us and who gave us in the life all the blessings. We live in this world with the will of that Lord, and he is the one who will take the soul from our life, and we will depart from this world. As he has said, it is fact that all the people of the world will taste the death a day. When we look at the verse that was the subject in the past from Surah Hujurat, it took little longer to complete that because there were some important subjects. So today I would like to complete that. Today I would like to discuss about remedies for the ghibat. How we can eliminate ghibat from our life? Is that possible? Or if it's not possible. Sometimes when it becomes too much in our life, then we start thinking that, oh, it's not possible that I can just take it out. This backbiting, it can be something that it should not be in our life. We get rid of that. Let us think that how that is possible. Yes, it is possible. First of all, that is possible. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is creator of a human being, has said, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا، He commanded us not to do that, not to backbite one another. That means it is possible and it is one of the wajibat. It is haram upon us and forbidden for us that we should backbite one another. And anything that has become haram in the Sharia, it is wajib for us that we need to learn how we can get rid of that. Because if something is haram, then muqaddama haram is also haram. And facing that and defending that haram, it becomes wajib. So its opposite is going to be wajib. That how I can get rid of that, that becomes wajib, learning about that. And taking all the steps in order to refrain from haram also, it becomes wajib. So these are wajibat, that is obligation for us that we need to learn about that. One of the most important remedy for the ghibat and backbiting is making a defensive line. We should draw a line for ourselves that wherever there is a ghibat, I should not be part of that. Or if sometimes somebody likes to make a ghibat at that time, I should defend my brother. Because ghibat, if it is done, and backbiting, if it is done, that is for any other Muslim or mu'min brother. And when I listen to that, I should be in the position that I can defend from that brother. If we start doing that and asking somebody, please shut down for a while, I request you that not to do ghibat. Our great scholars, they have the history, those urafa, whenever somebody backbites in front of them, they would like to ask, please not to backbite, let us stop. So if you put stop on yourself and put stop on the person who is making the ghibat, that is one of the best ways that ghibat can be eliminated and it can be less in our life. We can shorten that in our life. In a hadith, there is been said one of the rights of a mu'min. You know, Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has counted 30 rights of a mu'min on the shoulder of other mu'min. 30 rights of a mu'min and the right of a mu'min on the other mu'min. One of the rights that Prophet has mentioned, that is Raddul Ghiba. Raddul Ghiba. That means rejection of the ghibat. If in front of you any of the brothers, about him there is a backbiting, it becomes our responsibility that we need to defend on his behalf, although on her behalf, although they are not there. But if we feel that we are brothers and sisters, and brothers and sisters have their rights on the shoulders, there we need to act upon, and we need to fulfill our responsibility. So what it means when it is one of the rights, that means on the day of judgment, we will be asked, did you defend your brother or sister when there was backbiting? Did you do that or not? It's not only wajib, it is a haq, it is right. Right is above than any wajib. And right is going to be asked on the day of judgment because that is haqqun nas. There are two types of the rights. One is the rights that are rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huququllah. Second are the rights that are huququn nas. Ghibat has two sides. Ghibat had two angles to look at that. One of the angles is that is it's haqqullah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked her not to do that. When Allah forbids something, then it becomes haqqullah. That if I do not follow that, if I do not practice according to that, that means I have taken one of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have actually disobeyed one of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second is haqqun nas, rights of people. if I backbite, that means I'm taking one of the rights of another mu'min in my hands. And if I'm listening to the ghibat, then also I'm taking, because in the past discussion I've said that in a hadith it is said the person who backbites and the person who listens to the backbiting are both same. Their sin is going to be equal, and they are going to be equally responsible on the Day of Judgment. Not necessarily somebody who speaks, somebody who is sitting over there and he keeps listening, that person is also going to be responsible for that. So let us look at a hadith from Prophet, as he said, "Man radda an akhihi ghibatan sami'aha fi majlisin radda Allah minhu alf babin min ash-sharr fi ad-dunya wal-akhirah." What is the reward for rejection of the ghibat? If we listen to the ghibat somewhere and we reject it and we defended our brothers and sisters, it is be said that if somebody rejects that, man radda an akhihi, rejection of the ghibat from one brother or defending the ghibat from another brother, sami'a fi majlisin, if he is sitting in a majlis and in that majlis or in that gathering ghibat is being practiced, raddallahu minhu alfa babi min ash-shar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away from him 1,000 doors of the evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to close 1,000 doors of the evil from this person in this world and thereafter. So you can see how great is this practice, just rejection, just sitting over there and defending one brother by one word. You say one word and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to count that as 1,000. He's going to close 1,000 doors for you. That means it's a greater sin. And when it's greater sin, in order to get rid of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts lots of rewards. So there are plenty of the rewards that are being placed for this ghibat. If somebody is being able to defend that. Second way to get rid of that, or second remedy that can be possible, that we should think about our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I have disobeyed, at that time I need to return towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make a tawbah before Allah. When I've taken two rights, one is the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, second is the right of the people, I should return and I should ask forgiveness and make a tawbah. As I've said last night, what it means when we say tawbah, tawbah, that means returning once. If somebody is continuous in the practice, then definitely there is no tawbah. Or if there is intention that a person is going to return towards ghibat, that is just making joke of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's making fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we keep committing the sins and we say astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. It's just a joke. This astaghfirullah has no meaning. It should be meaningful. As it's been said, al-muqimu ala dambi wa huwa mustaghfirun minhu. If somebody stays on the sin, continues, keep committing the sins, and beside that he says istighfar as well. Every day says istighfar. This kind of the mustaghfir and the seeker of forgiveness is like mustahzi. Mustahzi is the one that actually makes fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just a joke. It's like if your son once commits a disobedience and came before you asking forgiveness. Second time again, he does the same thing. Third time, you will say that this is third time. You are continuously disobeying. How about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many times really in our life we return towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then again go back to our sins? So second way to get rid of ghibat is tawbah. And finally, third remedy that is also very important, that going back to the people whom we made the ghibat, asking them for forgiveness, if that is possible. If that is possible, if it does not cause another fitna. There are situations that even if by saying that the situation is going to be more worse, then we should not, we should seek forgiveness. But if it is possible that we go back and ask them that if they can forgive, we should ask. Because it's going to be difficult on the Day of Judgment that how we will be able to answer for the people and how many people we have made the backbiting. So there are various other ways to get rid of the ghibat that one needs to learn about that. We need to practice and we need to collectively do an effort that how we can get rid of that. We need to do collectively. If we can make this effort that within friends, if there is a commitment, within the families, if there is a commitment, within those who sit for any discussion, if they make that an effort and they decide in the beginning that our meetings will be free of ghibat. You know, sometimes you see that sugar-free. Is that possible that we can make our meetings sometimes ghibat-free? Why not? We can. So sometimes we can maybe write down over there that this meeting is going to be ghibat-free meeting. So at least we should try to do that. That may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us those rewards that are being reserved for mu'mineen mu'minat. I pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us in this world before we leave this world. I pray may Allah forgive all those sins that we have taken the rights of other mu'mineen. If we have committed the ghibat in the past, may Allah forgive us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah raise us on the Day of Judgment with Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. May Allah protect us in the future from any type of the sin that is greater sin. May Allah protect us from the ghibat. May Allah protect our family, our community from the ghibat. Allahumma ghafir lana warhamna wa'afina wa'afu anna fid dunya wal akhirah innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى وصي رسول رب العالمين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب وعلى سيدتنا فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى السيدين الشبابين الإمامين الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على مولانا صاحب الزمان ما هي آثار البدع والطغيان اللهم عجل فرجه وسهل مخرجه واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره أما بعد أيها المؤمنون والمؤمنات والإخوة والأخوات أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله وقال مولانا إمام زماننا inna fibnati rasulillahi uswa. Dear brothers and sisters, as we are in the month of Jamadi al-Ula, and the second month is Jamadi al-Thani, both months are very significant. And one of the significance of these months is to commemorate the days that are called Ayyam-e Fatimiyya, to commemorate the martyrdom and the birth of daughter of the Prophet Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. These days are really important. From this month until next month, there are various significance, but one of them is the hadith of our present Imam. Although in the Quran it's been said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. O people, for you in the life of Prophet, peace be upon him, there is best model. But Imam of the age says that for me there is a role model. I have a role model as well. إِنَّ لِي فِبْنَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ. For me in the life of the daughter of the Prophet, there is a model. He considers his mother as a role model. That means in today's world, if he is our present Imam, and he considers daughter of the Prophet as role model, we need to keep that personality as our role model. We need to think about her life. Unfortunately, our events become just as a ritual. Sometimes we try to do some traditions that we do not care about those days. When everything becomes tradition, then there is no meaning for that. There is no benefit for that. We try to come for a day of the martyrdom, and then we go back. Traditions cannot be beneficial for anybody. But a life should be taken as a role model. When somebody's role model, it's not role model for a day or so. That must be role model for our whole life. We should take that as the life of Hazrat Sayyida. And especially those who like to organize those programs, they need to care about these days. These days should be taken as important days. Whatever importance we will give to these days, people are going to be giving importance the same way. We should take and consider those days and elevate the place of those days. And we should give this lesson and teach the people that these days are really important. In everything that must be shown, it has to be demonstrated. Even printing a leaflet, sending a message, performing a program. It's not performing a program, actually. What we start making is that I am responsible to perform a program. When I think that I am responsible to deliver a message, I am responsible to demonstrate a life, I am responsible to demonstrate a model outside. So if you have a company, and when you like to put a model outside, how you would like to place that model? Really, when you put that in showcase, when you put that model in showcase, that people, they can come inside. What are you going to do? Are you going to just put that model anywhere, anyway, or you're going to decorate that? Ahlul Bayt have asked us, "Kunu lana zainan, wala takunu lana shayinan." Be an ornament for our life. That the people, they should come towards our religion. Let us make those programs as attractive as it's possible. That can be actually equal or not equal, that at least we should be responsible to deliver our message. And the personality of Fatimatu Zahra, of course, is the role model. You know, today other communities, they call and they name some days as Women Day. So previous days, 8th of March has been called as a Women Day. But do they have a role model like Fatimatu Zahra? Do they have a personality like Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alameen? They don't. So there are days that are being announced, for example, Mother's Day, Woman Day. If anybody likes to commemorate a day that is Woman Day, that has to be a day for the Fatimatu Zahra. And if anybody likes to celebrate a day that is Mother's Day, then best of the mother, an exemplary mother, and role model mother, that is Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha. So now there was a news that I would like to just share. It is being said in UK. There is a sheikh who has spoken about Women Day. Sheikh, his name, it's been said, Abu Isa Ni'matullah. I don't know, maybe he's from Pakistan, from any other country. But he has spoken about Women Day. And he made fun of that. So I'm not in the favor of making fun of any day. If it's been regarded in any community, we should really be careful about that. But he made some fun in his khutbah. And now it has become an issue. In various social media, he has been condemned by the people, condemned by the personalities, condemned by the politicians, because one day that they had named as Woman Day, it's been insulted. So let me ask them a question. If a day has been insulted, then that much condemnation has to come. How about when Prophet has been insulted? When his personality has been insulted, why you don't speak at that time? It's just today the people have named this day. It's not a holy day. It's not a divine day. It's not been sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not been called as the day from our Lord. That is the day that we have named. But unfortunately, that has become issue today. And you can go and see how social media is filled with condemnation about this sheikh. Another thing that is really important, that there is a mystery of loss of a flight. So whole media, it is filled that a flight has been lost. It seems that a person has been lost. One individual has been lost. No, it's not an individual. A flight with the passenger of 239 people. That flight, it is lost. And they say nobody knows about that. Isn't that interesting? Don't you think that they tried to make that as a mystery? That in today's world, in this world of technology, and now their investigation are being made, and they are trying to search in the rivers and beaches, that I hope that somebody will have some clue about this flight. But this is really a mystery that can be possibility of a political mystery. This can be a political mystery as well. From last 2 days, Israeli Zionist regime has started aggression again against the oppressed people of Gaza. And from Wednesday, they have attacked on the Gaza. There were airstrikes. And of course, there were many lives can be actually victim of their airstrikes. On other hand, Al-Jihad group, in the retaliation of those airstrikes, they have claimed that they fired the rockets on Israeli soil. And brothers and sisters, you can see that this country Its aggression is continued from last half or more than half century, and how many lives have been victim of aggression of this country, and how much this country has suppressed the rest of the countries. And we pray, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the people in Palestine, and may Allah give justice to this community that has become really suppressed community.
And the people in Pakistan as well, Maulana, not just Palestine. Can we just talk about Pakistan as well?
Inshallah. Thank you very much. Brothers and sisters, there is, as I've said, that there is a power gain struggle in Ukraine, and both countries of United States and Russia are playing for their power struggle in Ukraine. It is really seem that the U.S. was trying to pressurize Russia that if they can leave the country or half of the part that they where Russia is taking, they have threatened Russia that if they do not leave that, they would put sanction on that. So in the past, they used to put sanction on Iran and rest of the countries, but when you like to place sanction on country like Russia, then you have to think twice, right? No, it's not easy. It's not Iran. On the other hand, Russia is saying that if you are going to put sanction, then we are going to cut down on the gas supply to the European countries. So sanction is going to be against sanction. So sanction in place of sanction. If you continue sanction on other countries, it does not mean that they are not going to retaliate as well. So this example, it shows that if a country is powerful, then they can answer and they can reply. And we hope that the country they are placing sanction every day, this country is going to be a power in the world as well. It is going to be a power that is going to reply to the sanctions that are being placed to this community. As brother has suggested that in Pakistan, in situation in Pakistan, definitely in Pakistan, a community has been suffering throughout the years by the target killing, and we have addressed that in the past many khutbas. I have spoken about that, but one of the core issues of Islamic world at the moment, according to our scholars and maraji, according to our leader, that is issue of Palestine. So when we address issue of Palestine, that is not because of Palestinians. We address issue of Palestine because of that is issue of Islam. And our responsibility to address this issue is being set by our leader and our maraji. So we hope that inshallah. Thank you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I would like to request that, of course, khutbah is not part of discussion. If you like to have any question, you can ask after the khutbah. I pray, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Allahumma ghafir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat, wal muslimin wal muslimat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat, tabi'allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat, innaka mujibu da'wat. إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Can I request everybody please stand up with the salawat and move forward.